he's back after a week's hiatus in Central America, a country whose former president was just arrested in a corruption case. I'm not sure there's a connection there. Find his work for USA Today, either in the red section, online at usatoday.com. Follow on Twitter. The handle's at George Schroeder. George, welcome back. How are you? How was the trip?
I'm good. When it comes to former presidents getting arrested in Guatemala, it's sort of get in line, basically.
Well,
this is the most recent arrest of a former president. That's all there's going on there.
Well, I was trying to say, did George have a role in here? Is there an extradition treaty we should know about? Did he just get out ahead of the controversy, or are you just out of this clean?
Yeah, I really can't speak to that one way or the other. I'm not allowed to. So,
well done. Well done. George, last summer you wrote a really interesting piece about American football in a league in the land of football down there, the Guatemalan American Football Association. But if I'm correct, that league is not in season. But while you were down there, you got to see some more American football in the land of football.
That's right. Yeah, they had what they called the Central American Bowl. Six countries came together and had national teams of sorts, and they played basically a football tournament, which is an interesting way to do it. They did it all in a week. So each of those teams ended up playing three games, and it was, there was some actual halfway decent football. The team from Panama was pretty good. What does pretty good mean? I mean, they were better than the other guys, is what I mean. But it was fun. Let me put it this way. It's 75 degrees and sunny. And I don't know what it's been like in Eugene the last few days or weeks, but it's been cold and dreary in the central part of the country. And so it was nice to be down there watching football in the dead of winter with great weather. That's the way I looked at it.
I don't blame you. Last week, of course, letter of intent signing day, I guess part two, just because the program secured some highly sought-after talent in December. Of course, the process not over. So, you know, obviously being wired into the game, people you speak with, what stood out or has stood out as maybe some of the differences from this and, you know, the one-day traditional recruiting process we've pretty much known all our lives?
Well, what stood out was that it was so sedate, most of the country. I mean, there was the one deal where the kid chose Florida, and I'm sure some of your listeners saw this. He chose Florida. His mom was wearing an Alabama outfit, and she got up and stormed off in this televised signing ceremony. But, you know, other than that, you didn't have sort of nearly as much stuff. She didn't have nearly as much, there wasn't nearly as much nuttiness as normally attends it. And I think it's because most of it gets out of the way now, or got out of the way this first time around in December. And, you know, obviously I don't know how it's going to morph as things go along, but it sure appears that the big date is going to be the December date, and that this is going to be sort of the cleanup date, and it's going to change how we view stuff. Maybe the December date will become sort of an unofficial national holiday, but maybe because the teams are still playing, and maybe because there actually are real holidays coming up at that time, maybe it's not going to be the same as the February date has become over the last few years. And here's what I do think. The February date is not going to be what it's been, whatever happens with December.
It certainly appears that way. One quick Olympic question. As somebody who covered the trials here in Eugene, then you followed in 08 over to China to cover the games. I know you always speak so highly of that experience. How would you describe your level of engagement in the winter games? You into that at all, or you just, if a great story presents itself, it's got your interest?
Well, to this point, I've really been into it about this much. I've seen zero of it. Now, part of that's because I was out of the country for a few days, but really, I mean, I find myself watching college basketball this time of year. I watched a basketball game last night, and then a college game last night, and then I watched an NBA game. And so I'm not, you know, look, I get it. You know, Sean White did this, and so and so did that. Chloe Kim did that, and everybody loves every 4 years to watch these guys sweep the ice with these things and make these big stones slide down the ice.
Curling!
I'm not fired up about it, I guess is the answer.
All right, but just keep an eye out for Michaela Schifrin, our downhill skier and our slalom skier. But anyway, before we get into the recent report about a dip in attendance at college football, talk with George Schroeder of USA Today. I'm kind of curious, the last sporting event, well, here in America, that you attended as a civilian, where you went, I wanted to go, I got tickets, no press pass, I'm just here as a fan.
Wow, I don't know. I have to think through that. I mean, a couple of years ago, I probably took my two boys to an Oklahoma game in basketball. A couple of years before that, I took my older son to the Oregon Arizona basketball game before we moved. So there aren't a whole lot of those that I have the opportunity to go to, but those would be the last two, I think.
Wow. All right. I was wondering if you'd have to rack your brain there. So the NCAA released figures revealing attendance among FBS teams dropped 1,400 fans a game, the biggest dip since 83. When you consider the narrative about choices and platforms, sprinkle in a little CTE, Baylor, and other factors, along with just how society changes, is this all that surprising?
No, but let me just say this. I don't think CTE or Baylor, you know, sexual assault, have much to do with the, you know, drop in attendance. I think this has everything to do with our choices in society in terms of how we consume stuff and how we spend our time. So if you're a big-time college fan, football fan, you can watch it on TV in your man cave or whatever you want to call it, with, you know, a 125,000-inch TV, and the viewing experience is better in many cases than what you get at the game, and it's a lot cheaper, obviously. And you've got, and then that's before we ever talk about, like, millennials who are now, you know, they consume things differently. You know, they're not, we're just a different generation, and I think this is a problem. By the way, it's not just for college football. You could talk to people in Major League Baseball, the NFL, you could talk to people, in any sport. Live game attendance or game attendance is an issue, and it's, I don't think it's going to become less of an issue. This is why you are seeing, for example, people who are doing new things with college stadiums are ending up cutting their seats down. The last guys that really expanded was Texas A&M. They expanded by about 15,000, and there are a whole lot of people that would have told you that they should have stayed at 85,000, maybe even thought about going lower instead of going to 101,000 to be bigger than their peers at Texas. But people are talking about cutting down the size of stadiums because they don't see some quick fix. In fact, I talked about this today on the radio in Oklahoma City with some guys.
Okay.
And, all right, so the guy I was kind of debating with suggested that the way to sort of fix things are, one, talking about college football, better scheduling, which means better non-conference scheduling, because obviously you can't really control your conference schedule. Better non-conference scheduling. Two, selling alcohol at the stadiums. And I actually can't remember his third point, because I just thought, well, there's not a whole lot you can do. Oh, better Wi-Fi. You got to have Wi-Fi that's really, really good at the stadiums. Now, I don't disagree that having better Wi-Fi is going to be a good thing. I don't think that's going to send me to the stadium if I'm a fan. I don't disagree that better scheduling is a big deal. That said, you also want to win, and people are trying to either get to a bowl game or get into a playoff. And whichever tier you're in, you're trying to creatively schedule. You're not trying to schedule just for gate. And then the last thing, if you want to sell alcohol inside the stadiums, with college sports, obviously some people are doing it, and I think more people will do it. But I think there's a little bit of a moral and ethical dilemma there, because you're talking about sort of your purpose as a college institution. And there are all these, you know, emphases across campuses about trying to prevent college kids, whether they're underage or not, from sort of going on, you know, getting into sort of the binge drinking mode. So you don't want to ever promote it yourself. So I think at least in some locales, that's going to be an issue there. But I thought it was kind of interesting that, you know, okay, I get it that that's how some people would say, here's how we address it. Let's say all those things worked and they were perfect. They were perfect ideas. I don't think that fixes this trend. I think the trend is going to continue, as it's so much easier to watch games on TV or tablets or phones or whatever else than it is to go. And that's where we talk about the expense of tickets.
Sure. You know, along those lines, as a national reporter, you know, when they send you to games, there's usually major implications, the best teams. So let's do a hypothetical. Say you were a beat writer last year covering Texas Tech. It's mid-November, the weather's crappy, they're playing Baylor, each team has one win in conference, they're going nowhere, and your boss says, you know what, stay home, cover the game on your 65-inch flat screen, we'll send an intern to get the interviews. What do you think? Huh. You lose much not being there?
Yeah, well, I mean, I do think if you're actually trying to cover the game the right way, Here's what would not happen. What would not happen is they would send an intern, because at that point it's still about the expense, right?
Right.
What would happen is they would just say, don't go. And I would say this, I don't think you can actually cover it in any degree at all if you're not able to sort of get reaction after the game. And as good as the video is, or the viewing experience is, it is not the same as being there in terms of seeing stuff. Even if it's a 70-inch TV, it's still only whatever's being shown at that moment, right? I mean, it's not the same. You know that. I know where you sit in Austin, and you're able to see a whole lot more than if you were just watching it on TV, because you can turn your head to look over there to see what's going on, or over here to see what's going on. So I would say that's one of the reasons why, if I were just a fan, I'd probably still be one of those guys that's still going rather than watching. Now, finances play a role, obviously.
Yeah.
But as a guy who's a sports journalist, I think you need to be there in order to cover it well. Now, that may not be, you know, at some point financial considerations are going to be a bigger deal than that, and you deal with it when you have to.
You know, that's interesting. I get a lot of different answers from that. But in closing, I know when I attended the Rose Bowl, I was blown away. I just thought the hospitality was unique. But I'm, like you know, pretty much I stay at home, go to home games. I don't go to a million events like you do. But is there an event or two, and it could be basketball, it could be the Final Four, opening weekend of March Madness, that just stands out for you as a member of the media where you're like, this is always just top flight and I always want to be there?
Well, I'm like you. Whenever I get a chance to cover the Rose Bowl, and I covered the one this year, and
right,
I covered four or five, I think, you know, a couple that Oregon was at, and some others. To me, that's as good as it gets in terms of just sort of the whole experience.
Okay.
It's game day, anyway. And now that we've had the advent of the playoff, I love both the semifinals and especially the championship game. I think those are tremendous. I covered one Super Bowl, but it was a long, long time ago. I'm sure that would be fun to cover.
Which one? Do you remember?
I don't. It was a long time ago. It must have been, was a Super Bowl 30 between the Cowboys and Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow. 96, January 96. Wow.
Yeah, I was a 9-year-old cub reporter, and it was really good. So I'm kidding. But look, the Final Four is fun, too. But you could send me to, you know, like I covered the Iron Bowl this year at Auburn. And so that's a regular season game. I think that's tremendous. I love that. You know, Ohio State, Michigan is tremendous. And those are just regular season games, you know. So maybe it's just that I love the job and I love the ability to go do those things. But, I mean, I guess I'm not one of those guys that's jaded by the regular season stuff. But so I could find something really cool about anything. But what I really like, Steve, is when I get to go do something new that I haven't done before.
Sure.
That's pretty cool. New campus or a new game or whatever. That's fun.
So I assume we'll see you here for USA Today next year for Oregon Portland State. Yeah, I'm only kidding, Josh.
That would be new.
Great one.
To me.
It sure would. And I would love to see you try and explain that in the USA Today budget.
Let me just say this.
Go ahead.
We hired Lindsay Schnell to cover college basketball. Lindsay lives in Portland.
Yep.
Used to be with the Oregonian. And so I don't think she'll be at the Portland State game. But if anyone would be, it would be her. if anybody would be from USA Today, that would be the writer.
No,
so my guess is the answer is not that game.
Okay, I got now Lindsay's top flight, and we know deep down in her heart, it's basketball, and she's also a Duke fan. But either way, George Schroeder, USAtoday.com, on Twitter at George Schroeder. George, welcome back. Enjoy. Always appreciate the time. Catch up next week.
All right. Hey, thank you.
Bye.